Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen in Studio A, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards and his entourage. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing this morning?
Well, not too good, Don, to the extent of the continued presence of vigilante justice here in the Twin Cities against the franchise of the persons of color, primarily black, if you will. Terrible incident here late Thursday night. Powerful forces step up. White predator, neo-Nazi skinhead. And we'll start it at the beginning, Don, because we've already agreed in the briefing meeting. We needed to go with this story. Star Tribune is sitting on it. WCCO did a piece last night that was a joke. I mean, you know, some kids on a play television station. But here's what we got, Don. We're bringing this forward, and of course, our phone lines will be open, if you will. Anybody got any thoughts out? Anybody has any questions? And I certainly know that our civil rights leadership is not going to step up. But anyways, number is 347-426-3904. Don and Ron program from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And we are truly vigilante, the vigilante city. Here's what happened, Don.
Okay.
Just before 12 o'clock on Thursday, there was a kind of a high-speed chase kind of going on down Lindale Avenue South. So we're clear so that folks don't pretend to get confused. And at the 2200 block of Lindale Avenue South, one car rear ends the other. Okay. And then one of the cars hits another car. So you have a three car pileup, if you will, right there in the middle of the street. Bars are fully active down there in that area, if you will. Again, right off of Franklin and Lindale. So for those that live here in the city of Minneapolis, I assume they know where that's at. An argument ensues, if you will, between a single African-American who was in the car that T-boned the automobile in front and caused it to hit another car. Caucasians in the car that was in front and was hit by the car driven by the African-Americans, exit from the automobile, very aggressive, if you will. In the meanwhile, folks are coming out of the bar, running out to hear what's happening. African-American is basically there by himself to the extent then racial epithets start being expressed. I guess, you know, people are intoxicated and et cetera. And, you know, you got a black guy out there and he's by himself, and you got 18, 20, 25, 30 Caucasians, I mean, you know, we start talking lynch mob, okay? Something happened in the course of back and forth. People are saying, they're calling the police, and then somebody starts chanting, string him up, string him up, string him up. The brother, feeling the pressure of the call for you know, his life, makes what turns out to be a fatal mistake. He breaks and starts running. He runs back towards Aldridge Avenue South, the 22 and 2300 block. You know, we know the area down there. It used to be a popular cafe down there. A group of Caucasians take off after him, if you will, calling out racial epithets, if you will. Crowd is still coming out of the bars. These are white bars, if you will, really don't encourage Negroes to patronize, to patronize, if you will. The individual goes over to the 2200 block on Aldridge, in other words, a block over. Something happens in the backyard, if you will. Witnesses who are now being suppressed, if you will, indicate that the Pacific Caucasian some way or another gets his hands on a shovel and proceeds to beat the African-American to death in the backyard in the 22/2300 block of Aldridge Avenue North. police arrived, if you will. Apparently, a couple of police officers knew the perpetrator, if you will. He was told that at some point that he could go, if you will, while the African-American lays in that backyard on the 2200-2300 block of Aldridge Avenue dead, all right? Didn't even bother to really call for medical responders or first responders. The guy appears, he and his entourage, if you will, the crowd is all pumped up, and et cetera. Some people are still saying, you know, string him up, he got what he deserved, that kind of thing. Mob rule. Now, individual is allegedly taken to jail, not even really booked in at the Hennepin County Jail. Maybe the new sheriff can explain what the policy is. The guy is cut loose immediately from there, and it is not until a ranking white police commander, officer, if you will, begins to ask for information relevant to the death of the Negro, that he early Friday morning, Don, maybe let's say around 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, orders that the patrol officers go back out. This individual had apparently gone to the impound lot where his car was initially taken with the damage. He needed to get some paraphernalia and et cetera out of the car. He was then taken into custody. I want you to follow that closely. The Caucasian is taken into custody, taken back down to the jail, if you will. An investigation allegedly is going on. In the meanwhile, the public information officer for the Minneapolis Police Department gets involved, says that, nothing really happened. There was a little fist fight, and the Negro died. You know what I mean? And by the way, we're not able to provide a name for the deceased because that name has not been released. Now we get the coroner involved. The medical examiner here for Hennepin County gets involved. Body is transported to the medical facility, if you will, and there the cover-up becomes even more intense, if you will. The investigation now is basically intensified. Then some calls begin to be made to the office of the chief, the mayor of our city, if you will, et cetera. And around 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the Caucasian assailant, neo-Nazi, is released from jail again. Word is passed by the public information officer for the Minneapolis Police Department that the coroner will be ruling that it was an accidental homicide. That's the terminology we use here in Minneapolis, that it was an accidental homicide. Negro fell 46 inches of snow in that backyard, if you will, on the 2300 block of Aldridge, if you will. And Negro dies from medical complications. That's what they were working on all day yesterday. In the meanwhile, information was, and wink-wink, was sent to some of the Negro leadership that inquiry should not be made. Don't make anything of it. The Negro was driving a stolen car, though, there is no patent evidence that is necessarily true, but it really doesn't make a difference. Now, the way the game will be played over the next 36 hours, the medical examiner who has custody and control of the body is working to make sure that the deceased has no relatives of the first or second degree by law in the Twin Cities. What they will then do is give the body to a white undertaker, maybe Washburn McCleavy, if you will, who normally get these victims, if you will, into their custody and care. They will basically, if the family of the deceased makes a call and makes inquiry, Washburn McCleavy or any other white, by the way, we only have two, as you know, Don, we only have two black Undertaker's in the state of Minnesota, Miss Brooks in St. Paul, and Estes here in Minneapolis. The body will be given to a white Undertaker. The white Undertaker will tell the family that burial will be about $6,000, by the way, because they say that the African-American now deceased was involved in a felony driving a stolen car. He is not eligible for any monies for burial. And the Undertakers, white Undertakers or morticians, will then indicate that we will, you know, really help you people out, and we will suggest that you authorize us to cremate the body. Now, by the way, if they find no family members, which they're working very hard, notice what I say to you, Mr. Allen, working very hard not to find any relatives of the deceased, will then cremate the body. The coroner will make a ruling that it was death by an accidental fall, if you will. And so those people, example, there was an African-American woman looking out of her window at the time that the neo-Nazi was beating the brother to death in the backyard along the 2300 block of Aldrich Avenue North. But there have been assurances and reassurances that the civil rights leadership in this city will make no inquiry and will not stir anything up. The individual in question, the perpetrator, if you will, is connected with a paramilitary group that operates out of Sandpoint, Idaho, if you will. They've been involved in some of these situations here, including the beating of three teachers at Harrison School, two of them black, if you will, about a year and a half ago. These quote-unquote skinheads, neo-Nazis, have been operating with immunity here in our city. So that is the background on the beating death of an African-American in a backyard in central Minneapolis, like we said before, after an accident at the 2200 block of Lindale. Any questions, Mr. Allen?
So this young man, this group, the Star Tribune, as we did in our production meeting this morning, we don't see any news regarding this incident anywhere. Do you know of any of the Star Tribune reporters are even covering this?
What has happened, yours truly was in consultation and contacted the Star Tribune by 7:45 this morning. I was taken back by no article because I had talked to reporters yesterday, if you will, when we initially thought that the individual in question had been reincarcerated, if you will, and booked into the Hennepin County Jail. They told me a song and dance that they would have somebody out at the scene and talking to them this morning just before 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. Reporter for the Minneapolis Star Tribune indicated that he was working on another story. They tried to get around to this maybe and go out to the scene of the murder tomorrow, if you will. I have already been to the scene, if you will. It's going to be pretty hard to convince me, as an example, that the individual died by falling in the snow. But the name and the quote-unquote age, address, and et cetera, of the African-American will be held in abeyance until at such time as a white mortician who will be assigned the deceased's body has an opportunity to cremate. That's the way we do it here. That's the way we operate here.
Wow, that's not good.
Any additional questions?
Yeah. No, we just didn't see anything, but I have earlier, I had some gentlemen on social media ask me the race of the assailant and the race of the victim. And we know for sure that it's an African American.
The race of the assailant is he is a Caucasian. He is a neo-Nazi skinhead, if you will. And the race of the deceased is that he is black. He may be an African American. He may be a Somalian. I'm just not sure, but he's black. Okay? And cover story is that he was driving a stolen car, which automatically makes him ineligible for any benefits or et cetera to bury him. Right now, as we speak, the medical examiner in Hennepin County is working on, as I said earlier, and I stand by that, that the body will be turned over to a white mortician who will, if anything comes forward, will convince them that the funeral is too expensive and that they will, for a minimal price of maybe $600 or $700, cremate the black man's body.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! That's terrible. That shouldn't even be happening. And you know,
happens
and what's more heinous?
Unfortunately, God, it happens all the time in this town.
Yeah. And you just don't hear a word about it. So, Ms. Edwards, what about the NAACP, the Minneapolis Urban League, and these civil rights activists?
Mr. Allen, will that play the reflections by me just over the last 6 or 7 minutes? Arrangements have been made with civil rights leadership here in Minneapolis and even St. Paul that no inquiry will be made. If you watch the report on the noon and particularly the 6 o'clock news of WCCO, the CBS affiliate here in Minneapolis, it was just unbelievable, the poor quality of the investigation. They just said, hey, there was an accident, and there was some kind of fist fight, and the person died. But again, to whoever called you with regards to the race and ethnicity of the individuals, the perpetrator, assailant, is a Caucasian. The victim, black man. Young black man, too. But the ruling will be that a medical condition took place during the alleged confrontation. Of course, I guess if I'm beating you in the head with a shovel, I guess you will have all kinds of medical conditions. If they can get that body cremated and the coroner, the Hennepin County Medical Examiner, is working very diligently, if you will, working closely with the public information officer for the Minneapolis Police Department. They're also trying to deal with the records of the admission of the individual in question. That happens, this will be a clean, I hate to say it like this, Donna, with all deference to the family of the victim, this will be a clean kill.
That's not good. That's not good. There's a lot going on in our city with these shootings and beatings and things going on and the information being suppressed by the mainstream media.
And this comes on the heels of a vicious attack by Congresswoman Omar against Barack Obama. I didn't know that so many in the Somali community had such disdain for Barack Obama. Her attack, which I think, you know, I assume we'll be talking about it a little bit before, you know, we go off the air this morning. I was shocked by her attack on former President Barack Obama. I just don't think he was deserving of it, but also I'm basically told that leadership here in the Twin Cities will not utter a word. Business as usual.
Yeah, this morning, this also, speaking of attacks on individuals and groups of people, NPR had about an 8-minute story on this morning, Mr. Edwards, after 7 a.m., about how Jewish leaders here in the Twin Cities have met with Congresswoman Omar and kind of talked her through the Jewish situations. And at the end of the interview, the guy asked, the other gentleman, the Jewish gentleman here from Minnesota, are you a supporter of Congresswoman Omar? He said, at this time, I cannot be. And so that was very interesting that aired, you know, on NPR, that they're talking about it. And we can see what happens from there. Yeah. What happens.
Wow.
You know, they're
a powerful
constituency there. And I don't know what her end game is, but we need to figure this out.
I understand it's a book and movie rights. I understand she's looking to make a dollar. I hate to say it like that, but that's the word now coming out of Washington and within the Somali community. And by the way, the Somali community had a very volatile week last Friday. A series of meetings in which they really blasted, in many respects, the MPD. Very upset with the conditions that have befallen their community there in Cedar Riverside with a heavy concentration of Somalis in the center. But I was shocked by the attack by United States Representative Omar on Barack Obama. In fact, in many respects, just called him a murderer of Muslim people. And so, you know, I'm quite sure that a lot of folks on the right are certainly enjoying that narrative, that analysis, and et cetera. So I don't know. You know, the funny thing's happening here in the Twin Cities, huh? Funny thing.
Yeah, and Mr. Edwards, we have a call. We'd like to bring that caller in. Looks like a friend of the show,
all
1914.
Right.
You're live on air. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Thanks, sir. It sounds like Steve out of the Midwest.
Yeah.
How are you doing, sir? Mm-hmm.
Good, good. I had some questions for you about this incident that you just talked about.
Go right ahead. We're
Yeah, has this gentleman been formally charged yet with anything, or is he
my
just
sources,
aware?
Including the Minneapolis Star-Tribune, not to mean to cut you off, sir, but I'm already aware that what the PIO officer, public information officer, for the Minneapolis Police Department, who is not responsible, the county attorney, who I'm quite sure is very gleeful with the death of another black person, if you will. To your specific question, there will be no charge, the skinhead slash neo-Nazi. There'll be no charge. There'll be no charge.
No charges. Oh, okay. Well, does this gentleman have some connections or something there? Some high, I mean, what's, it seems kind of strange to me.
There are rumors that when he was released the first time, actually only being driven down towards the jail where, you know, he had some buddies waiting for him, is that this person is connected, if you will, and in fact, it is now being rumored, even in law enforcement, that there was actually maybe a private aircraft standing by, you know what I mean, a little twin-engine Cessna or whatever it is. I know that you have background in aviation.
Yeah.
To fly him out of here, possibly back to Sandpoint, Idaho. But to your specific question, sir, under color of law.
Okay. Now, you had also mentioned that part of the story was that this gentleman who was being chased fell in the snow some way and died. Any information? I've heard from, I believe, your postings possibly that there was this man was beaten actually with a shovel. Is that correct?
That's correct. We stand by that. The mob that was chasing him, this is a group of individuals who were coming out of the bars on that particular street, Lindale Avenue South, so that nobody gets confused. One of the things that at least a couple witnesses who were to do the right thing said that when the mob started talking about string him up, that he clearly panicked. He started running. He ran about a block. They tracked him down like a mad dog, if you will, and then this particular individual used a heavy shovel to beat him to death.
Oh, okay.
Surrounded
now
by his white compadre.
I don't know if I can put this out here or not, but from what I understand, I don't know if is the name Bailey, is that a name that
you say that, repeat that name again, please, so that I'm making
Bailey,
sure I'm hearing.
Bailey
is
the name
the
of the
perpetrator.
Okay.
He is the individual who wielded the shovel, beating the African American or black person, beating him to death, yes.
Oh, wow.
You are correct. Your information is correct. The Star Tribune has the name, declined to print the name or even write the story this morning, maintaining that they, you know, were going to investigate it, even though none of their reporters, as of this program, 10 o'clock, 10:05, Central Standard Time here from our studios in Minneapolis, St. Paul, no reporters from the local print media or the television media bothered to go to the site. I'm aware that a reporter from NPR happened to be driving by the scene that night or by that time early Friday morning, around probably, 12:30, 1 o'clock a.m., saw the yellow tape, but himself did not stop and was kind of surprised. Yesterday, I happened to call him by chance, if you will. Lo and behold, the hand is on the shoulder in such a way that trying to get justice for this black person. But I'm just afraid, sir, that we're not going to be able to do that. Powerful forces, the word is that just as they've been needing to get black leadership's minds right about Omar, there were meetings yesterday in which basically black leadership was told that they are not to raise any questions about this death.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because it does seem to be quite a bit of the media, NAACP, Urban League, and all these organizations, none of them are saying anything at this point.
Not saying a thing. Some are falling back on the fact that it was alleged that the deceased was driving a stolen automobile, and that predicated upon that narrative that he had committed a felony, what happened to white extremists here in the city. They're saying that's the way it should be, and we should do it tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Again, you have to understand that a mob chased this now deceased African-American into that backyard along the 2300 block of Aldridge Avenue South and watched this skinhead deal Nazi beating to death. Now, like I said, the public information officer escorted me, even one of the reporters that I talked to early this morning, asking why there was no story. I think my colleague, Mr. Allen, in studio, I know he's the phone line coming up. Mr. Allen and I checked, and there was no story. As I said, I took the initiative of calling and asking why, and they said they just haven't gotten around to it. That's the way things work. Yeah. Any other questions, Steve?
Just kind of a quick question about Representative Omar, and that's was this the same? Is she this kind of person who attacked Barack Obama before she became a representative? I mean, is this the kind of person she was prior to this? I mean,
before she became United States Congresswoman, she had served two terms, if I'm not mistaken, right, Mr. Allen, in the Minnesota House of Representatives. Okay.
Yeah.
Prior to that, she had just been somebody out here that nobody knew anything about. She was basically talking about, Somalis in refugee camps in Kenya, if you will. But since her arrival in Washington, D.C., she has, captivated, quote-unquote, with her statements. But all of a sudden, this major change-up and her statements yesterday indicating, really, that Barack Obama was a murderer, if you will. And what was the term she used, Mr. Allen? Pretty face?
He was a pretty boy.
Pretty boy, yeah.
Barack Obama was a pretty boy and nothing more. Murdered her people.
Murdered her people. 8 years. 8 years he served this patient. Also, I'm aware of a lot of legislation that he wrote to make sure that the Somalis could flee the persecution that was going on in East Africa. But your question is well taken. I think I understand how it's crafted, that, she's taking up the mantle now, if you will. But I have to tell you that I was shocked because she was a part of a group that initially, 5-6 years ago, were, talking about what a great, great man that Barack Obama was.
Mr. Edwards and Steve, listen to this. In the story from the New York Post, it says Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar ripped former President Barack Obama in an interview published Friday, belittling his pretty face and saying his agenda of hope and change was an illusion. She cited caging of kids at the Mexican border and drowning of countries around the world on Obama's watch. She argued that he wasn't much different from President Trump, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there it is, Steve. from the the New York Post, Mr. Allen?
Yes, sir. New York Post.
Yeah. Well, you know how that is, Steve. That's a white newspaper, big white newspaper in New York City. If they speak the gospel, I guess that means that Barack Obama was a murderer.
Yeah.
In the case of Representative Omar, your question is well taken. Did not know that she housed the kind of disdain for President Barack Obama. If you, I know that when she announced that she was running for the seat of the former congressman, who for some reason or another got the heck out of the job and decided to run to become attorney general, and had just been speaking on her behalf, I wonder, particularly given how well Barack Obama treated the then congressman Keith Ellison, I wonder if he, Mr. Allen, I wonder if the attorney general of the state of Minnesota concurs and joins with the United States Representative Omar in her description of the legacy of former President Barack Obama. It'd be interesting to see if, and we're right now we're looking online, Mr. Allen and myself, and we see no statement in that the declarations were made and printed in the New York Post yesterday. Do we see anything as we speak at this hour, Mr. Allen, from the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota denouncing the attack on President Obama?
Yeah, we don't see anything. No statement.
Oh.
No statements at all.
Well, Steve, we're just kind of cold up here. We're getting ready for another major snowstorm here in about 3 hours. Maybe we're kind of locked up with this cold. I don't know. But appreciate any other questions,
sir.
Appreciate you calling in. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, we'll see
you
up here.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Allen, if we got anybody holding,
we have someone that might want to be in the queue, but let me check on him. Caller 1840, would you like to? Do you have comments?
No, just listening to the queue.
All right, thank you, sir. And we have one more here. Caller, do you have any comments, or suggestions, anything? Are you just listening in the queue? Yeah, they're not going to say anything because they dialed and blocked their number. So we got 111-111-111-111.
Okay.
We see you
okay.
We listen. Our call-in number is 347-426-3904. Again, that call-in number is 347-426-3904.
Let's move over, because I know that the beating death of the African-American on Thursday evening is kind of probably too hot of a topic for a lot of folks. And by the way, we're not playing that game with any right wingers and stuff to call in. If we determine that that's the thing, they can call in one of the many, many, many right wing stations that they have here in the Twin Cities and ask the question of, what's your take on what is the end game of Representative Omar in this attack on the legacy of Barack Obama? And what's your take professionally?
Well, I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing her kind of attack the political infrastructure out there, and I don't know on whose behalf she's supporting or protecting or defending, other than there's a lot of sound bites out there, but she's saying things against the Jewish community, against President Obama, and just kind of rattling off at the cage, at the mouth, and so I should say, and when I read this story from the New York Post, I mean, I'm in awe, Mr. Edwards, because if I would have ever said anything like this about President Obama, I would have been thrown under the bus. And here he says, she even says, she told Political magazine, here goes another article, and I quote, "We can't be only upset with Trump." So she wants the general public, her supporters, et cetera, to look at President Obama while he was in office. She says that his policies are bad, but many of the people who came before him also had really bad policies. They were just more polished than he was, talking about President Obama. And so this is very interesting that the New York Post ran with this big story by Bob Fredericks of the New York Post, published March 8th, which was yesterday at 1:14 p.m. And
all right.
It's interesting, and I don't know. Her endgame, it could be many things, but it's troubling that, you know, Ilhan Omar, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, would go after someone that looks like her. You know, going after former President Barack Obama in this dirty,
Low
way.
Let me step in lockstep with you, Mr. Allen, because in light of what you've just said, which has significant validity, if you will, I was puzzled just a week ago last night. We had Somali young gunmen shooting up the city, and in the process, a 17-year-old Somali youth, a student at Edison High School, one of our high schools here in the city, was shot and killed in the parking lot of the Red Sea restaurant right there off of Washington and Cedar, if you will. Shot and killed. Shot and killed, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And at least five other Somalis were shot at two other locations. We had shootings at three locations. And I was trying to be fair and balanced because I don't remember Representative Olmont either now sitting in the Congress of the United States or doing her two terms in the House of Representatives here in Minnesota. I don't remember her being quoted or speaking out about the internal violence in her own community, as we have, you know, said the same thing of those in the African-American community who maintain that we must not speak out with regards to, you know, black-on-black deaths, if you will. And for those that, you know, are senile, black-on-black deaths mean black people killing black people, you understand? So I'm puzzled on why she did not speak out, particularly given, let's get into this now, the number of meetings that were held this week in the Somali community in the shadows of the big the towers there in Mogadishu, as people make the statement, Brian Coyle Center, and then the work facility and et cetera. There were at least four meetings in which particularly mothers and females of the Somali community raised total hell, man. They were on Chief Arredondo. They were on and raised questions about the absence of police on the beat, et cetera. And they did raise questions. I guess we now are obligated that statements had been made by high-ranking police officers within the Minneapolis Police Department that one of the reasons that Somali officers are not being used on what we call the dog watch, that's the late watch into 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, because, get this now, Don, that Somali officers cannot be trusted. Now, I thought that was outrageous. Attack upon the integrity of Somali police officers and then the Somali community, but yet I realized that I didn't hear anything from the Congresswoman's office. And doesn't she, has she moved her office now from North Minneapolis over to the Stewart neighborhood? Because I know she was planning to do that.
Yet. Yes, I don't know if she's done that yet, but I will check and have an update for next week.
Yeah. Now, maybe we missed a statement from her office here in Minneapolis after a night of carnage last Friday on the streets of our city that led to the death of a 17-year-old Somali youth, if you will. But, you know, I maintain that, you know, once you take the world on, you need to, you know, be consistent. Don't you think so, Don? I mean, this is where I'm at. I just think you need to be consistent.
I agree 100%. But you know, Mr. Edwards, all those years that congressman, when he was congressman at the time for Minnesota's 5th Congressional District, he did not say very much about he did not, since 2006, he did not say much about the black-on-black crime. And usually the town hall meetings were held every 2 years on the election year when he was going up for re-election. So in between those times, there's a lot of black people killed by the black-on-black crime, but really no substantial or meaningful engagement with the Black community in the 5th Congressional District to try to solve this challenge or change the trajectory of poverty in some of the areas he represented, some of the zip codes in North, South Minneapolis, Richfield, Golden Valley, all the way around, Fridley,
yeah.
So Columbia Heights. And so, again, you know, I didn't know what his end game was. And so
I have to concur from the left, Mr. Allen. I kind of always wondered. In fact, periodically we would raise that question, and, of course, we would come under attack that we were being anti-Black. But I don't know how you can, quote-unquote, be anti-Black on one hand and a Black nationalist on the other. Statements made out of earshot of us and et cetera. I'm not sure that I understand. I'm really waiting to see what the hardcore hardline. I know you enjoy this, Don. I know you enjoy this from the right. I'm waiting to see what is being said right now by hardline Black Democrats on the left about Representative Omar's statements about former President Barack Obama. I'm interested to see what they say, how they help us get our minds right, right? Yeah, our minds need to be right, if you will. We need to be in lockstep, whatever the heck that means. But anyways, this is the Don and Ron program. The phone line, open 347-426-3904. We are talking about a couple of specific things. I'm just amazed that we've had, with the exception of a call from outstate Minnesota, on the beating death of an African American in a backyard along the 2300 block of Aldrich Avenue South. I'm just fascinated, Tom, that the phone lines aren't burning up. I mean, I know what people will say, well, ain't nobody listen to you guys. Ain't nobody listen to that crap.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a African-American or certainly a Black person who was violently murdered at the hands of white extremists. And everybody's just kind of quiet, man. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we're on the wrong page, buddy. Maybe we're on the wrong page. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I agree. It's troubling just to see this going on. And, again, that number is 347-426-3904. We had a comment on social media from a young man by the name of Jermaine Alexander. He said, the sister should never apologize for telling the truth. It's hard for her to get work done when she is constantly having to defend herself and for speaking the truth. And all those who are against her are an enemy to Black people and an enemy to truth. So you have a lot of people out there agreeing with Congresswoman Omar about President Obama's tenure. And, we let you lean in any way you want to on this show. And we appreciate if you pick up the phone and call in and discuss that. You know,
well, that's
that.
The thing we really want to hear. Let's hear your voice. By the way,
yeah, here we go.
God bless America in this context, because you wouldn't have been able to make some of those statements in some other countries that you and I know.
Yes.
But if that's what Mr. Alexander feels, if that's his real name, hey, you know, that's what democracy is all about. We got a call? Yeah, let's get
a call. Caller, friend of the show, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Ron and Don. This is Lisa calling in. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
All right, here.
Well, I was calling to talk about Ilhan Omar and the statements that she had made. And I want to say, me personally, I'm very disappointed. I voted for Ilhan, and I'm not sure if she is getting, while she's in Congress, if this is information that she is getting as far as what Obama has been doing for her to voice some kind of opinion. But, she got a lot of the Black votes. You know, a lot of Black African Americans supported Ilhan, so I'm wondering if she is thinking about that and if she's willing to risk the Black vote by making certain comments about African Americans. Because we have a long way to go, but we don't need anyone that looks like us talking down on our community. One thing I wanted to say also is about Ilhan and her position. We have a lot of Somalians here who are refugees. And we have Trump that is actually looking to remove all the refugees from here and send them back to the country so that they can make their country better. So I'm hoping that she is focusing on her community of people and not trying to be so opinionated about what's going on that doesn't have any. So I'm very surprised at her. I just recently posted a video where she was speaking about the protesters and standing up against the laws that would criminalize the protesters, and she was very vocal about that. So I'm wondering now if she has a different position, because if so, she will not get my vote. And I wanted to just say that I'm sure I speak for a lot of African Americans in my community. So that's what I wanted to say. I'm disappointed at Ilhan, and if that's her position, then she won't be in office too long.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Let me say this with regards to the last caller putting her finger on something that is relevant. We may not always agree in some of our dissertation and conversations over the last couple of years, but one of the questions I have is that, you know, Omar is not a American-born citizen. You know, she came here from one of the refugee camps, as I understand her historical narrative. As America opened her arms to the Somali citizens and to a lesser degree Ethiopians and et cetera. And I wonder if her status, if you will, of naturalization is solid enough to take the kind of chance, even though she's a member of Congress, but I'm a historian and I will remember that we had a person that was clearly born, raised, was a man of the cloth and a suffer named Adam Clayton Powell, and reached a point where he was talking about racism in America and et cetera, and he was drunk out of the House of Representatives, and three times his constituents, it's in the history book for all of you who got your computers out there, go type it up, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., Abyssinia, Baptist Church, Harlem, New York, three times. He was voted back in three times. The Congress of the United States, white-dominated. There was only one other Negro in the Congress of the United States at that time, and that was Representative Dawson of Chicago, and three times. And finally, Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. indicated that his constituency, which was basically Harlem, if you will, were being denied equal representation of the color of law in the Constitution and indicated that he was retiring. I thought it was a great loss, if you will. And so I'm just trying to get a feel about how comfortable Congresswoman Omar is with regards to what she's saying. Now, you know, I thought initially she had a pretty good feeling about how this country deals with the Jewish issue, if you will. If I'm not mistaken, these are the same nationality, the same country, the same people that have denied Palestinians their own nation, sovereign nation, their state, et cetera, and kill Palestinians in record numbers. Is this the same group, Mr. Allen?
Yeah, I am sure it is.
It's not sure it is, but it is. It is. If one knows and understands the history, goes back to 1948, when the United Nations passed a resolution, a binding resolution, that indicated that the Jews on one hand, the Palestinians on the other, would have their separate sovereign nations. They would have to live side by side, and et cetera. The United States, Britain, France, the so-called white Western powers pulled fast one, tricked the Arabs into conducting an attack on the Palestinians. And on the Israelis, and what basically happened, the Jews got a state called Israel. The Palestinians live in a little strip of land called the Gaza and the West Bank. I'm just kind of confused, man. But go ahead.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's this whole situation. I mean, I don't know what her motivation is or what anybody's motivation is at this point. Speak on President Obama, but also to the point of we don't have any comments about what's going on here locally in the 5th Congressional District. I mean, besides the shootings in North Minneapolis, South Minneapolis, the Somali gang violence that's happening big time on the South Side in that area that's labeled as Little Mogadishu, which is Cedar Square West apartments, the high rises, were that used to be all University of Minnesota college students and elderly residents. We don't hear much about it. We don't hear much about the plumbing situation in those buildings, the water, the drainage, the floods, the cockroaches, the rats, and the things that are going on in that
the
particular
grease fires and the stuff. Yes, I know.
The live poultry in the apartment. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
I agree. I know that you are handling a number of things. I totally agree. I don't understand this attack on Obama. But as we said earlier to this Alexander, whoever Alexander is, it's one of the duties of at least being in a place where you can halfway have freedom of speech. I know a lot of countries right here in this continent, if you will, South America, Central America, et cetera, where you'd probably be out in the back in the bushes with a bullet in your head. I mean, really, I mean, you know, you don't have the freedom of expression and et cetera. And there have been occasions, as we said in the case of the late and beloved Adam Clayton Powell, congressman from New York, Harlem, if you will, how he was dealt with by the predominantly 99% white Congress of the United States, if you will. And so I'm just not sure what, we've said it back and forth four or five times, what the end game is, if you will. But on the other hand, I hope that folks are able to address the violence that is going on inside of the Somali community here in the Twin Cities, which jeopardizes all of us. And there are a whole lot more people in the 5th Congressional District than just Somali, if you will. You understand what I'm saying, Ms. Fallon, you know.
Oh,
we don't want to be accused of being anti, quote-unquote, Somalian, if you will, and et cetera. We're just now beginning to deal with the facts. I mean, and it's not pretty. It's not a pretty picture. Again, I'm really disappointed that no one raised any question, even the last caller raised any question about the beating death. But, of course, the reason is that though the information is coming from a black news network, it's black folks, so we don't know anything. But now as soon as the white folks by Monday write something on it, then it'll be the gospel, right?
Oh, yeah. They'll be talking about left and right. They'll be talking about just like the Thor construction piece. You know, we got attacked about that, and no one called the Star Tribune to attack them, who wrote a story that was more damning than our radio broadcast or anything we could possibly do. You know?
Absolutely.
So that's
absolutely.
And Mr. Edwards, I don't mean to sidestep, but I wanted to get this in today because I have a young lady listening named Kay Como, who is a teacher going for a principal license or doctorate, and also myself as a teacher, but right now at the state capitol, there's a group of people trying to push this House File 1329. It's under the guise of to create more black teachers of color. You know, when they say teachers, when they change it from black to teachers of color, usually no black people are involved. And so what's happening here, they're getting these some of these token black people to sit in and say that every person that wants to be a teacher has to go through a teacher training program. And as we know, Mr. Edwards, we have several elders in the community that might not have went through a teacher training program that are qualified to go into any grade at any school and teach any subject because they have the knowledge of that subject, the historical context of any subject mm-hmm. they choose to teach. So this bill will take people out of the classroom that have not gone through teacher training programs like myself and Ms. Como, but also it will limit the contact of African Americans with African American kids, or let me rephrase that. It will limit the contact of black Americans with black American kids. It was drafted by what we'd like to say were some bigots who grabbed a couple of black teachers from the suburbs and put them at the state capitol or the legislature, having them to testify on their behalf, talking about this bill is beautiful, this bill is great. But basically what it does is forks more money over to Pearson testing and also eliminates a lot of the teachers that are currently in the school who have community expert license or short-term permanent license. And it's a bad bill. they're pushing it at, under the guise of creating more black teachers or teachers of color, but that's not the case. And as you know, with over 250 white females working at the Minnesota Department of Education and told all white staff in the teacher licensing department that we can't seem to get a break. And not we're not hollering about victims. This is education. These are people here with multiple degrees that, you know, paid in excess of $225,000 for their college degree to get their master's and their doctorates. And, you know, you don't waste your time and then run into a bureaucracy or some people that want to change the licensing of the, like in this HF house file, I should say, 1329, which is a bad bill. No one should support it. And more importantly, Mr. Edwards, every parent should be calling their local representative and telling them not to support this.
Right. Well, let me ask you this question, because you've been laying it out there. But so what is the position of the guardians? Because we, part of Black Minnesotans, have worked real hard to get to, we used to be the Council on Black Minnesota. So what is the position of, what is his name, Justin Terrell, who is the executive director on the Council of Blacks and et cetera. So has he been speaking for or against the bill?
He's not speaking at all.
No, he's not saying anything.
Okay. We're not getting any words from the Council on Black Minnesotans or the Council of Minnesotans of African Heritage, whatever they want to be called. But, you know, I do have a call into him because I want him to publicly condemn this bill in a press conference that I would love to attend. And I want to see if he'll do it. This is an important piece for me supporting him as the executive director of the Minnesota Council of Minnesotans of African Heritage. And furthering his tenure, because, you know, if he does not support this multiple majority position in Minnesota, then we must move for the sunset of that particular council, period.
I see. Now, do you think that this is what Senator, who was on our program, following our Senator Champion, Chamberlain, who has no problem? I don't know what it is, but apparently we are persona non grata as pertains to black legislators. I've heard that black legislators, three or four that they've got have been tamed, that we're too toxic and et cetera. And that's really unfortunate. But I certainly would like to hear them talk on, you know, one of the other talk shows. Well, they only got one other, really. I just wish it would happen, because Senator Pratt sent an interesting signal last Saturday that there were things that the black political leaders were saying that wasn't true, that they allegedly were doing in fighting the battle for equality for the sons and daughters of the African, if you will. And so, good point that you made, Don. Maybe we may want to have both Senator Chamberlain and Senator Pratt to come back on and explain to us what this legislation means.
Mr. Edwards, we have right under 1 minute and 20 seconds left of the show. My, it just zoomed by so quick this hour.
Yeah, okay. Well, have Brother James Brown take us home, and our tragic condolences to the family, the loved ones of an African-American beaten to death by neo-Nazis in a backyard in South Minneapolis on late Thursday night. God save Black Minnesota. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.